Certainly thankful for the prayer that Brother Dwayne offered on our behalf, and would ask for continuation of your prayers this morning. Without God's grace and without God's blessings, we can't preach the gospel, nor can we have the ability to hear the gospel. And we don't want the gospel, if it possible, to fall upon deaf ears. We're told in Hebrews chapter 5 that there was a people who became dull of hearing, became tired of hearing. It just wasn't an interest to them. And we hope and pray that we do not get in that situation. In some states, when we fall into a state of apathy, that happens, and we just kind of go through the motions. But when received in the heart, the gospel of Jesus Christ has a great power to make a difference in our lives. This morning, if the Lord would bless, I would like to talk about change. We talked about that a little bit before we had our prayer this morning. The Bible tells us about change. It tells us about changes that you and I absolutely have no control over. It talks about things that you and I can change, that we have the ability to change. If the Lord would bless this morning, we want to look at something that we cannot change today, something that took place in our lives if we're a child of God that wasn't by our own efforts or by our own actions. But before we go there, we think about change in a lot of ways. There's no doubt if you look in the mirror and you take a picture that you of yourself from 10 years ago or even a year ago, there's a change taking place in your life that you have no control over. You have no ability to do anything about it. You know, we go to doctors. Some people go to surgeons. They do everything possible to make themselves look young, to stretch out the appearance of their life, and yet within they're getting older day after day. We have not the power within us or within any doctor that lives on the earth to alter the years or the time that we're going to live. Now, there are those who have spent a lot of time trying to figure out a way to extend life, and honestly, if you go through the difficulties and the trials of life, I don't know why anybody would want to extend it very long. There's a place called heaven where the troubles and the trials of this life don't exist. But needless to say, we can't change the process of aging. It's impossible. We get older, we wear out, and soon we depart and fly away. We're told in Psalms 90 that our life is a tale that is told. And when we close the book on that time, we depart immediately and our spirit returns unto God who gave it. We can't change the weather. Men have spent ages and miraculous amounts of time trying to alter the weather, but to no avail. And they'll continue to try to do so. But there are things outside of the realm of possibilities far as change goes that you and I have not the power nor the ability, nor does any other man have that ability to bring about any such change as that. Now, as we enter into a new year, oftentimes, many of us, if we think about it, we make what we call New Year's resolutions. You know, we have all these good intentions of maybe losing weight, maybe eating more healthy. Maybe we have good intentions of reading our Bible more, understanding that the gospel, when applied to the heart, has the great ability to really make a difference in our lives. It's not just a book of words and good advice. It is a book, when received in the heart and taken seriously, can make a difference in your lives. We're told in Deuteronomy 32:4, He is the rock, His work is perfect. That means His words are perfect. That means His ways are perfect. I can tell you right now that the arrangement of marriage set forth in the book of Genesis is perfect. That was God's way. There is no other way. Man has tried all his life to establish a better way, to do a better thing. He's always thought he had a leg up on God, but he doesn't. God's way is perfect. Regardless of what it amounts to, God says we're to study and read His word. That's just something that we ought to take to heart. We make resolutions, which, if we're going to follow these resolutions, they require commitment. They require discipline. Unfortunately, oftentimes, we for whatever reason, we become uncommitted to going forward. For example, we start out and we begin to diet if we're trying to lose weight. We begin to diet. We begin to do all these things. Maybe we begin to eat healthier, and very soon down the road, many of us are tired of that. We just kind of throw it out. We are not able to continue in that path. We don't have the discipline or the commitment. Anytime change comes about, it requires commitment. Maybe we don't have a relationship with someone the way it ought to be. Maybe that relationship's not good. Maybe we want to see it change. I believe the Bible tells us there can be changes, but it requires commitment and it requires discipline. Just as it required commitment when a man and a woman were united in marriage. They made promises unto themselves and unto God, and it requires a commitment. It requires discipline. Because the easy thing to do is to quit. You know, there's all kinds of things. Maybe we're going to spend less money. All kinds of things that we make New Year's resolutions about. But regardless of what your resolution is, it's for bettering your life. I've never seen anybody say, I want to do something going forward to make my life worse. The intent is to bring about something better in your life. And it requires a major commitment. And to follow that commitment, you must be disciplined. If you're going to read and study God's word, you must be disciplined. You know, when I grew up as a young person, I to be honest with you, I couldn't hardly stand to read anything, much less the Bible. But I've come to understand, not just because I attempt to preach the word of God, that this book knows everything about what I'm doing in life. It has an answer for all my problems. It really does. When we wonder why things happen, if we search the scriptures, we'll find out that the reasoning for things happening in our lives is told us in the word of God. It's powerful. It has an ability to change our thinking and our ways, but it must be used. But the commitment to read or the commitment to pray takes discipline. You know, it's easy to start out and go a couple of weeks and find yourself praying every morning, every night. And soon you wake up and you jump to doing something else. I know that I'm guilty of this even today. It's very easy to just let those things slide away, and next thing you know, I'm right back in the old rhythm that I was in before I made that resolution. I didn't have the commitment or the discipline. And so therefore, we must have a commitment. We must have discipline going forward if we're to see change. But there are things that we cannot change, and I want to touch on one of them this morning. If you're a child of God, there was an immediate change took place in your life at some point. Between conception in your mother's womb and the time that you die and go home to be with the Lord. There's a change that takes place. And this change is something that you have no power or control over. You have no abilities to make a difference in this change. You know, I thought about change this morning, and I thought about different examples. In Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 23, it says, Jeremiah asks a question, and then he answers the question. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can he change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? Can either the leopard or this Ethiopian, can the Ethiopian change the color of his skin or the spots that's on the leopard? Can the leopard change those? The answer that Jeremiah gives us, he says, then may ye also do good that are accustomed to doing evil. He answered it in this way. The Ethiopian has no ability whatsoever, has no power to change the color of his skin, does he? It's just impossible. You know, it doesn't matter whether you have white skin, brown skin, or black skin. Whatever you got, you got. And you'll have it till you go home to be with the Lord regardless. You and I have not the power to bring about that change. If you're a leopard, you can't become a solid cover. You have color. You have spots on you, the Lord says, and you can't change them. Then those who are accustomed to doing evil have no more ability to change that evil way of life than does that Ethiopian or that leopard. We're talking about change. We're talking about a change that makes a difference in our lives, a change that as Ezekiel said, a change that would remove the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. What is the lesson there? For those who are not born of the Spirit of God, that heart of stone can't be penetrated by man, by himself, by another individual. It's a heart that doesn't love God. It's a heart that has no desire for God. It's a stony heart. But when we go through the work of regeneration, and we'll talk about that shortly, an immediate change in our life, God himself, through his omnipotent power, can remove that heart of stone, that heart that cannot be pierced. You see, God can pierce through the hardest rock, the thickest steel, whatever it might be. God has that power. We don't. God has that power to touch the heart. We're told over in Titus chapter 3 in verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he hath saved us. By what? The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You know, this great work of salvation in the minds of the majority of God's children, and it doesn't make them not God's children, it just confuses them as to how they became a child of God. And I want to touch on that just a minute. I thought about examples, and I thought about in the neighborhood that I live in, and it's not might not be a proper example, but there's a lot of squirrels. And I'm not saying God's children are on the level of squirrels. But ever so often, I'll see one of those squirrels has been run over out in the street and it's laying there dead. You know, I could go out and talk to that squirrel. I could invite you to come over with me and talk to that squirrel. And I tell you right now, that squirrel would never respond. Why? Because the life has been taken out of that squirrel and the squirrel's dead. It has no ability or power to respond. Neither do I have any ability or power to bring life back to that squirrel or any other animal you might see that was run over on the road. Yet, among God's people today, there is this idea that you must ask to be born again. I mean, it's just almost to the state of foolishness. Did you ask God to born you again? Did you ask God to bore you or bring you forth into this world naturally? No, you had no life. You were nothing. You were a thought in mom and dad's minds, I guess, prior to conception, but you had no power whatsoever to act because you had no life dwelling in you. It's not by works of righteousness. And we'll go back to that in just a minute. But it's according to his mercy that he saved us. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love that he had for us, wherewith he had for us, he had a great love for us. We were saved by mercy, not by works of righteousness. Now, what is the washing of regeneration? Regeneration means rebirth. It means you have to be born again. What does washing mean? It means you have to be cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be cleansed in that precious blood, the precious blood of the Lamb. Let's notice what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received from the tradition of the fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times, whom by him do believe in. By him you believe in God, not by your going to ask to be born again, not by your accepting Jesus Christ. There is no such language in the Bible. It's taught among the folks in the world, but the only place that you find accepting in the entire Bible is we have been made accepted in the beloved, in Jesus Christ. We were accepted in Jesus Christ by God himself. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We're without blame. Why? Because we was washed in the blood of the Lamb. The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, as we're told in Titus 3 and 5. Not only were you cleansed from all past, present, and future sins, and you know, it's an amazing. If you say that you have no sin, and there are people in this world who declare that, if you say that you have no sin, you deceive yourselves and the truth's not in you. We're told that in 1 John. We don't ever get to a state of sinlessness in this life. I wish we could, but we don't. Now, I think the child of God has a conscious awareness of his wrongs. You know, when we don't do right, when we don't follow the commandments of God, we know it. We know it. Sometimes we don't even straighten up. But you notice it says we're without blame. Aren't you thankful that God is not laying that to your charge? Aren't you thankful that it's not by works of righteousness? You know, what is a work of righteousness? There seems to be a great deal of confusion in the world of what that is. Some people will say, well, it's not works if you accept or if you go up and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Even though Jesus himself said, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him and I'll raise him up at the last day. On and on goes the lesson of bringing about this change that man has no ability or power to bring. He's not involved in it. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not a part of it. You see, unless you're born of the Spirit of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ will have no effect on your life. It really won't. Paul made it clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. He doesn't receive them because they're foolishness. Furthermore, they're discerned or understood when you're born of the Spirit of God. That's a lesson in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You have to be born of the Spirit of God to understand spiritual things. And yet the world spends all its time trying to bring people to be born again, trying to increase the population of heaven. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ came to this earth for one purpose, to save his people from their sins, and not a one of them will fail to be there because he didn't shed his blood in vain. And everyone that was given to him by the Father at some point in their life, they will be born again or regenerated. You know, Jesus told Nicodemus over in the Gospel of John chapter 3, he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you're not born of the Spirit of God, you can't see it. He goes down to verse 5 and he continues with that same thought. And he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You can't see it, you can't understand it, and you can't enter into it. That's because God has not done the work of regeneration, the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You know, for us who are born of the Spirit of God, we have something dwelling within us that we didn't have once upon a time. We have the Spirit of God. It gives us a different outlook and a different aspect to life. Even though we still sin and we walk contrary to the teachings of God's Word, when we do, we know that we're wrong. Have you ever done anything wrong in your life and you felt really bad about it? I tell you what, folks, I believe that are not born of the Spirit of God, they have a tendency not to be concerned about anything they do, even if it brings harm to you or they step on you or they do whatever. But I believe the child of God has a conscious awareness of his sins. And I believe he mourns at the sins he's committed against his heavenly Father. I know that I have. Do you not mourn over the great multitude of sins that no amount of paper in this world could write them down on? Does that not break your heart from time to time that you have sinned against the holy and righteous God who has given you everything, who held his commitment? You know, we talked about commitment in making changes. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ was committed in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world? God himself, the Father, chose us in the Son. And the Son, he made a promise and a commitment to die for everyone that was given to him by the Father. What a commitment he made. One that he didn't back out upon. One that he was disciplined for. One that he took and walked down the road of Calvary and he actually bore our sins in his own body. He put away our sins as far as the east is from the west. And he, at some given time, will call you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're told in John 5:25, verily, verily, the hour is coming and now is. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and they that hear shall live. Isn't it amazing that only some of the dead hear? You know, thinking about that squirrel laying on the road, I tell you, you could bring every human being that ever walked and lived upon the face of the earth, save the Lord Jesus Christ, and you couldn't bring life into that squirrel no matter what you done, no matter what you do. We have not that power. And yet, people think we have the power to bring someone to God for the purpose of getting them born again. I'm going to tell you, this is a work of omnipotent power. This is an immediate power that works in the child of God. He said, verily, verily, the hour is coming and now is. That meant it was then when Jesus spoke, and it continues on till the last child of grace is born. At some given time between conception and death, as it was with John the Baptist when he leaped for joy in his mother's womb at the salutation of Jesus Christ. We know that he was born of the Spirit of God in his mother's womb. Or let's take, for example, that thief who was railing against the Lord Jesus Christ with the other thief on the left. As they walked down to Calvary or were taken down there, all of a sudden we read Luke's account, and there was an immediate change in that man's words and his thoughts. And he called him Lord, which the Bible says no man could call him Lord unless he's born of the Spirit of God. That change was immediate. He didn't hear a good sermon preached. He didn't hear one of his brothers come by and say, oh, this is what you need to do. You need to walk in this way. You need to follow these good works. Friends, I'm here to tell you, we're all as an unclean thing. And all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, as we're told in the book of Isaiah. That's who we are. In your best state, you're filthy in the sight of a holy and righteous God. That's hard for people to understand. Hard for people to wrap their arms around. But I'm going to tell you, there's a change took place in your life at some given point. Paul knew when that change took place in his life on the road to Damascus. I'm not sure that John the Baptist ever remembered it. I doubt it. Because he was inside his mother's womb. But I'm here to tell you that if you were chosen by God before the foundation of the world, that one day, whenever that day was, God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. There was a difference wrought in your life, a big difference wrought in your life. Some people will say, oh, but you got to accept it. You got to accept it. Friends, I'm here to tell you, you better hope God accepted you. We go over to the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 13, and let's understand what this verse says. It says, not of blood, born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. That eliminates everybody but God. Did you know that? The Jews thought they had a corner on the Lord. They thought they were God's only chosen people. And if you were not a Jew born of the Jewish bloodline, you would not have any part with God. Aren't you thankful that they didn't understand that spiritual Israel is not the same as literal Israel was of the Old Testament? I'm here to tell you right now, who were not born of blood, nor the will of the flesh. Well, let's stop here a moment. These people say, well, you must accept it. You must come ask Jesus to come into your heart. Even though Jesus said you can't come to him, no matter what you do, you have not that power. Jesus said in John chapter 5, at verse 38, he says, search the scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life, and they are they who testify of me. Those who testify are those who've had the washing of regeneration, the omnipotent power of Almighty God work in their hearts, a change that took place they wasn't asking for, a change that took place that they couldn't buy, a change that no man could bring into their life, just as it was with that dead squirrel. I had no power to bring eternal life or life into you. It's only a power that God possessed when God said in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, and he said, let there be light. Immediately there was light. It wasn't something that went on for years and years. You know, I've even heard Christians today say, well, those were not literal days. There was hundreds of thousands of years in each day. Bible tells me the morning and the evening was a day. Isn't that what it is with us today? I'll tell you another thing. Anybody that talks you into believing such a thing in that is denying the omnipotent power of Almighty God. I ask you today, when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, he'd been dead 3 or 4 days. His sisters were mourning. The friends were mourning. They said, he's already begun to rot. He's beginning to stink. Wish you'd have been here a little sooner, Jesus. If you had, he wouldn't have died. And for the glory of God, he said with a loud voice, he said, you roll the stone back. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. There wasn't no period of time that Lazarus had to think about it. Lazarus couldn't think. He was dead. He was just like that squirrel laying on the road that I was talking about. He had no power within himself to rise up and walk out of that tomb. But there is one in our lives. There is one who lives among us today who said he'd never leave us nor forsake us, that is able to call the dead to life. And that's what he did with Lazarus. Whether it be physical life or spiritual life, he called Lazarus out of that tomb and he brought about a change in that man's life for the glory of his heavenly Father. And he said, loose him and let him go. Friends, I'm here to tell you that regardless of your understanding of Scripture, if you're a child of God, there was a change took place in your life that you had nothing to do with. It was the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't because you came to church one day with a better view. You know, a lot of folks believe that believing and coming to Jesus and all those things are the things that cause you to become a child of God. Here, I'm here to tell you that it tells you without a doubt that you have the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost performed in your life by that omnipotent power of Jesus Christ. That's what happened to you. Then you were able to learn. Then you had a desire to hear spiritual things. You know, you like a babe in Christ. Then you can go, as Peter said, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, just like an infant that comes forth from its mother's womb. It begins to learn to walk, begins to learn to talk, does a lot of crying, and does a lot of other things in between, but that's a learning process. We're not born of the Spirit of God and have all understanding of God. That's what the Bible's for. When Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulations, we ought to prepare ourselves. We're going to face death. We're going to face troubles. But Jesus said, I'll be there with you. You're my child. You know, we're told over in the 17th chapter of the book of John, it says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Who had that work of the washing of regeneration done on him? Those that were given to him by the Father. Those that were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 40, he said, you will not come to me that you might have life. John chapter 6 and 44 says, no man can come unto me. You will not come, you have no power to come. If you come to Jesus and you love Jesus, it's because Jesus has already done the marvelous work, the omnipotent work of the washing of regeneration in your heart and in your soul. And the renewing of the Holy Ghost has given you the Spirit of God. You were born of water and of the Spirit, and now you can enter into the kingdom. You can begin to learn the goodness that God has provided for you in this life, and that he will go with you through your troubles and through your difficulties, casting your cares upon him, for he careth for you, as we're told in the book of Peter. Friends, I'm here to tell you, the change that took place at some given point in your life, whereas you become to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you love to come into the assembly of the saints. You love to sing those good old praises unto God from the heart, not because you're an excellent singer or because you're anything special, but because you love him. You have those desires because of a washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul, over in Ephesians chapter 2, he put it like this. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Yeah. A while ago, we talked about this works of righteousness that Paul told Titus. It's not of works of righteousness. But I believe God clarified himself in eliminating man totally from this process in John 1 and 13, who were born not of blood. That ruled out the Jews. That ruled out you had to be born to a certain bloodline to be a child of God and to go to heaven. Furthermore, Revelation says that spiritual Israel is out of every kindred and tongue and nation and people upon the earth. But he goes on and he says, the will of the flesh. That tells me that no man in and of himself can do anything to help him come to heaven. Just as the Ethiopian cannot change his skin or the leopard his spots, you and I will not turn unto God on our own. It's that simple. And the Bible is that clear. If you love the Lord, if you attend worship service, if you truly love him from your heart, it's because you would experience the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost at some given point in your life. Paul put it this way, and you hath he quickened. Quickened means to make alive. That tells me that whoever was quickened was dead. You see, we all know what dead bodies are. We've all been to the cemeteries. We've all seen animals. We've seen all these things, and we know that no matter how long we talk to those folks, they'll never respond to us because they have no life dwelling in them anymore. And yet when God says from a spiritual state, you are dead in trespasses and sins, and that word dead there means corpse, if you look it up in the Greek, many folks believe they have a great part in their own eternal salvation. They have a great part in coming to the Lord. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's where we all were before this work of regeneration, before the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And now he begins to give us an example of the where we were. It says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. I tell you, you followed the philosophies of this world, the ideals of this world. And maybe we still do that from time to time. But I tell you, a lot of times what we do as a child of God, we know is wrong. I don't believe when we're walking according to the course of this world or according to Satan's ways, they have any concern about God's children. They don't believe in God. God has no place in their mind or hearts. According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, in the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We were no different than they were. But according to God's mercy, he has washed us and cleansed us with the work of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature, not born of the Spirit of God, the children of wrath, even as others. We're no better than anybody else. I can't tell you why God called one person out of darkness into his marvelous light. Some people say that just wouldn't be just, but I'm going to tell you, God had been just if he never called anybody out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you know that he was not required to save any of us? But according to his mercy, he saved a great multitude to live with him in heaven. And God is just and right in all his ways. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is the God that you and I serve. There's no injustice in that. God didn't cause us to sin. We've done a great job of that on our own. And we have no ability, just as the Ethiopian or the leopard, to change our ways. Unless God performed an omnipotent work, a power beyond anything that you and I possess, an ability that you and I don't have to bring about a change, just as he did with that thief on the cross. He says, but God, in verse 4, is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to what? His mercy, he has saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Notice what he says here. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. We were made alive with Christ. We were dead in trespasses and sins. I want to talk about change as we go forward the next few weeks. For the next time I speak, I want to speak on changes that you and I have an ability to make a difference in. The Bible tells us there are those changes. But becoming a child of God, we had no part in that. We had no power nor ability. The Bible is so clear on that. Just as the Ethiopian cannot change his skin color or the leopard his spots, you and I would not come to God on our own. If we could have come to God on our own, if we could have obtained righteousness by the keeping of the law, Jesus Christ would have never had to come. But he was the fulfillment of God's law on our behalf, to the jot and to the tittle. And he came to save his people from their sins. And I declare unto you today that everyone for whom he died will be saved, and they will live with him in heaven throughout all eternity. But I tell you, their love for the Lord wasn't based upon their good efforts, their good works, their will. It wasn't the will of the flesh or the will of man. It wasn't because of some preacher or some friend. It was of God. because the power that it took to change our heart was the power of the resurrection. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, we're told in Ephesians chapter 1. What is the exceeding greatness of that power? It's according or in agreement with the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. A lot of people just don't understand that. For you to honestly believe in Jesus Christ, you had to be resurrected from death and trespasses and sins, just as Lazarus' natural body was resurrected from that tomb. You know, if you go read Romans chapter 3, you'll find that our throat is an open sepulcher. Well, you know, Mary said her brother's in that tomb and he was stinking. Paul said that's our throat, our words. In a state of nature, that's what we are. We stink. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful that you love the Lord and the work that he worked upon you was a work that made a change in your life, even though you had no ability whatsoever to bring about the change or have any part in that change? It's a change that we'll always be thankful for, and may God bless us to live to the glory of his name. Next time I want to talk about the things that we can change. The Bible talks about numerous things that we can change in our lives. It still takes commitment. Jesus was committed to going through with what the Father gave. You know, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, there was a time and a separation where God poured out his eternal wrath upon his Son for the sake of you and I, that we could live with him. He was committed to going through with it from start to finish. He's the author of our faith, and he's the finisher of our faith. Therefore, when we make a New Year's resolution, especially in serving the Lord or reading his word, that commitment ought to mean something to us. And hopefully we'll be disciplined enough to continue forward.